Thank you, ladies, for that reminder that God is with us. He is Emmanuel. Literally means God with us here on earth. You know, as we enter into this Christmas time, we come to sometimes, I think, fret and worry and maybe not necessarily like Christmas time. I know that sounds kind of weird, but if you think about it, you know, we're going from place to place, event after event, thing after thing, taking up every weekend in the month, and more stuff gets getting added on every year, every year. It just gets crazier and crazier, busier and busier for us. We get caught up in all the hustle and bustle of everything. Now, there is nothing wrong with all these events that we have going on. There's nothing wrong with us being busy. It's important for us to spend time with family, friends, our church. But yet, sometimes we get so caught up in those things that we forget. We don't take time to stop and think about the true meaning of Christmas. The reason why we're here celebrating in the first place. It's easy for us to do. We get distracted. We have a billion different things going on. We have our normal things that we have every month. And then we have other things on top of that related to Christmas. And it's just, it's hard for us to reflect on the true meaning of Christmas. You know, as we go throughout this year, this season, you know, we're going to be looking at verses and passages that you've heard probably every single year that you've been alive. Every single year that you've been in church, you've heard these stories. You've heard these passages from the Bible preached. But you know what? It should never get old to us. We never know things. We never know fully everything that's going on in Scripture or fully understand it. And something new can come to us every year. We just have to open our hearts and make room for Jesus at Christmas time. So today we're going to be looking at probably the most famous Bible passage about the birth of Christ, and that's Luke 2. Many of us may be able to quote it, or we hear it quoted every year, and it's just, it's for us, but yet there's so much in here that we need to see, that we need to understand, to fully understand why Christ came and helping us come in. As we talk about making room for Christmas, this goes back to before Jesus was born, and we'll see that here. We'll see pretty much it's going to be the tale of two different people and a tale of a different group of people. You have one group that had no room for Jesus, and then another group that made room for Jesus when the time comes. So as we look in our passage in Luke 2 today, we'll be reading the first 20 verses, Luke 1 to 20, and then we'll be getting into our sermon. So Luke 2, verses 1 to 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were accomplished for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which were told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. So as we look in the first couple verses here, you know, we see an interesting political history of what's going on in the time of Jesus' birth. You know, I like to look at it and see that God uses individuals to accomplish his plan. He uses events and individuals to accomplish his plans. Things that we may never have thought of were going to happen. So we see God used Caesar Augustus. So Luke here talks about this taxing the census that was supposed to happen. You know, this account would have been to a Greek audience, so they would have known what was going on. They would have understood that Rome was in control. Rome was in control of Israel at this time, in control of most of the world at this time through the Roman Empire. And so when Jesus was born, the Roman rulers were considered like gods. So they were pretty much considered gods in their times. So he used the census. In some versions, it may say taxes. Everyone went to be taxed, everyone to their own city. I believe it says that in the King James Version. And so this census, this taxing, was to aid in the military Roman conscription. You know, the Jews didn't have to be conscripted into the military and serve in the military, but Rome needed to know how many soldiers to send to certain places to make sure that they could maintain control, maintain their power and dominance over the nations that they had conquered. So, but the Jews were still required to pay taxes. None of us likes to pay taxes. I guarantee you, no one back here liked to pay taxes. So we don't like to pay taxes, but yet this whole decree, it went out according to God's timing, according to everything that had been done. We look just in the prior chapter, and we see the angel coming to Mary, telling her that she's going to bring forth a child, and they'll call his name Jesus. We see the angel prophesying of Jesus' birth in that passage. Now, you know, the government forced travel. They forced people to move, to go to a certain place, to go to their birthplace to pay their taxes. You know, that we kind of don't understand that. If we had to do that, that would be kind of weird, right? If we had to pay taxes, I'd have to go up to New Jersey because that's where I was born. Don't hate me because I'm a Yankee. I only lived there 2 years, okay? I promise. I only lived there 2 years, and then we moved to Texas and Oklahoma, so and then here. So, you know, don't hate me too much because I'm a Yankee. But that's weird for us. Now, it's also weird in the fact that from where they were at, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, was a total of 70 miles. You know, we don't think of that as being very far in our society today. We do that all the time. I mean, Holly and I traveled a while, about, I think it was, I did it yesterday whenever we went home, about 100 miles round trip for us. So 50 miles each way. That's nothing for us. We do that in an hour each way. That's nothing. But, you know, we do it all the time. But you got to remember, there were so many different things that were happening at this time that were different than it is for us today. Not only that was that they had to travel by foot or on a donkey through mountainous terrain, so it would have taken a long time for them to get there. You know, we don't know how far Mary was along when they started off, but we know when she ended, she was fully at full term. And so as we get there, we see that was God's plan for them. God's plan for them was to get to Bethlehem. Because in Micah 5:2, it prophesied of this. It prophesied Jesus, where Jesus was going to be born. Micah 5:2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me one to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting." You know, it's possible that Mary and Joseph knew about this passage. And since the angel had come to Mary and Joseph and told them that the Messiah was going to be born through her, they wondered, how are we going to get to Bethlehem? How are we going to get there? But yet, God's plan all along was to use ungodly people to accomplish his work, to fulfill his prophecy. And he did that through this taxing, through this. You know, but God's plan started to come more and more into focus as they started to learn more and more about what was going on and what was happening in this time. You know, we see that God used Caesar Augustus to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. We see that. We have to remember that with God, all things are possible. Even though they don't seem possible to us, with God, everything is possible. Everything comes to fruition. We move on to verses 6 and 7. And we see the birth of Jesus is portrayed in pretty much just these two passages, these two simple verses, but they're so powerful. 2:6-7. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We see here is that, you know, the innkeeper had no room for Jesus. Because of the taxing, everyone had to go to where they were born. Everyone had to go to the place of their birth. So it wasn't just Mary and Joseph that were traveling. You think of all the hundreds and thousands and who knows how many people were having to go to different places so that they could be registered, so that they could be part of the census and taxed. We see that so much in this passage. You know, we don't know how many there were, but yet the inn was full. The inn on a normal day, if they would have traveled, may not have been full. But this also can show us something different as well. We all know this, that typically whenever we travel somewhere, and if we're going to be close to family, the first choice for us to stay anywhere is to stay with family. Someone we're comfortable with. So this tells us that Mary and Joseph may not have had any family in Bethlehem. They all may have left, or they may have not known any family there. So they had no close ties to Bethlehem that they could stay with. So they had no other choice. Their only option was to stay in accommodations and an inn, to depend on others. And so they got there, and possibly because it took so long for them to get there. It took so long that the inn was full. It didn't have any room. There were so many people there that it prevented them from getting a room. And so that's how we find ourselves so many ways with Jesus. We don't make room for him. We have so much going on. Our lives are full. We can't find time to spend time with God, to reach out to others, to come to church. It's hard for us, but yet we need to make room for Jesus. This Christmas and every day of our lives, we have to make room for him. And we see the birth of Jesus, this one who was prophesied, who is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is going to be God with us. He wasn't born into a royal setting. He wasn't born in the nicest of rooms with all the luxuries that that affords. He was born in a manger. He was born in a cave and laid in a manger. Think about that. He was put into a stable. I don't know about you all, but you go to a stable, the smell is not really good because everything, you know, that happens with the animals in the stable. That's just the way it is. But yet, that's where Jesus was born, in the lowliest of places. You know, you think about it, that really ties in to what Jesus was sent here to do. He was sent here to save the lowly people, the people who had no hope. No matter who you are, God is there for you, to be there, to comfort you, to give you the strength that you need to get through. We see that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know, swaddling clothes back in this day, they were bands of cloth that they wrapped together. We do this some today with babies. We swaddle them. We put them to where they can't really move their arms. It gives them that comfort like in the womb because they're so tight together and everything's so close and they can't really move that much in the womb. But yet we wrap them up. We have these sheets we put over them and has Velcro on it and do all that stuff. It's been a while. Yeah, I can't remember what they're called. Swaddling things, yes. So, but we have those today. And many cultures still do that. We do that to protect the baby. Because, you know, the baby doesn't have control over their hands. They can't control their hands, so they can scratch their sensitive skin very easily. So we do that to protect them. But yet he wasn't wrapped in fancy things. He was just wrapped in probably rags or maybe a shirt that Joseph had. They tore and wrapped it up, wrapped him up in it. And then we see Jesus slept in a manger. A manger is just a feeding trough for animals back in the day. Nothing fancy, not a fancy crib. It didn't, you know, cost a bunch of money, take a lot of time to put together. It was just a simple manger. Something that was put together for animals to use. They'd put hay in there. Just imagine being put on hay. They'd be laid in the manger where animals may have come over and tried to eat the hay around them because they were hungry. We don't know, but just think about that. This Messiah should have been born, you would think, in our minds, in luxury, in a royal palace, surrounded by people to dote on him. But he wasn't. He came to earth. He was born in a manger. He was born in a stable, laid in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. The innkeeper couldn't make room for Jesus, but he was born in a stable. I don't know about you, but there's nothing more frustrating whenever it comes to something and not having room for something that you need. Just think about this. You know, we have digital cameras now. There's nothing more frustrating. You come to it and you're taking all these pictures, you're on vacation, you haven't had a chance to take all your photos from your computer to put them on your computer, and you get the error message. You try to take a picture, it says memory is full. Memory is full. None of us like that. That's not a good feeling, because we can't. We need that memory available, that room to remember this moment. Just imagine how Jesus feels when we don't make room for him. We look at all that he did for us in coming to earth to die on the cross. He gave us so much. The thing is, we can always make more room for a new thing we want in our house. We can always make time to do what we want to do. But for some reason, we struggle with making room for Jesus in our lives. We struggle with that so many times. It's more important for us to make room for Jesus than it is anything else in our lives. It's important for us to do that. We need to make sure that we make room for Jesus. Let it not be said of us that we have no room in our hearts for Jesus, ever. Let it never be said of us that. And then we see next, the verses 8 through 16, we see that the message comes to the shepherds. The shepherds are there. And we see that, you know, the shepherds, they made room for Jesus. The innkeeper didn't make room, but the shepherds, they made room for Jesus. So we see here in our passage, they're out in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks. And then the angels just all of a sudden appear. The angels announce the birth of Jesus to shepherds, not to kings, not to rulers, not to political figures, not to people that would be viewed as important. He came and revealed it to shepherds, to shepherds. Now, shepherds were not really liked by a lot of people in this day. They were dishonest many times. They were unclean according to Jewish law. They represented one big thing. They represented the outcast and the sinners that Jesus came to save. He came to them first. He came to them first. Think about that. He came for us, for the outcast and sinners that we are. Everything that God does is intentional. It's never an accident. God's plan all along was to reveal himself to the lowly shepherds, to bring his word to them so that they could share it with Jesus and to announce that birth. They were the first ones to be told the good news, the gospel, that Jesus had come. The Messiah had come to earth to save us all, for all. I mean, can you just imagine the surprise on the shepherds? All of a sudden, they're out in the fields. It's nighttime. Maybe they're half asleep. They're surrounded by a fire. They may have a fire. They're cuddled around for warmth. Then all of a sudden, there's an angel that appears in the sky. All of a sudden, there's an angel. They probably were a little scared. And, you know, we see this every time that an angel appears to somebody. It's a shock to them. It's something we don't see every day and something that they wouldn't have seen every day. The angel appears to them and they say, "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." In this case, they said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." They tell them this. You know, think about it. The angel would have known that they would have been afraid because they were familiar with humans. They knew what was going on. So they would have either have seen it. I mean, if something all of a sudden happens to you, what do? You get in a defensive stance, right? You get ready if something surprises you. So they may have done that. They may have been fearful, or they may have been, you know, cowering behind something, hiding because they were afraid of what was going to happen. But the angel gave them comfort knowing that he was there. The angels brought that good news. They told them the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. Once again, Bethlehem of all places. Bethlehem was, as we read in Micah 5:2, was the littlest, a small little town that really had no significance, very little significance in the society of that day. But that's where God chose to come. He chose to come to Bethlehem to be born. They were needing to go to an unlikely place to look for Jesus. You would have thought the Messiah, as we said, would have come in a palace. They said, oh, go to the palace and see him. No. But yet, he was in a manger. So they told him what was happening. They said, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They told him where to go. They told him what to look for. You know, because think about it. It was a clear sign they were telling them what they were looking for in the baby. Because, you know, there may have been other babies born that night, other baby boys born that night, but none of them would have been laying in a manger in a stable. None of them would have. So they made sure he got to the right people. And then all of a sudden, there were angels in the sky praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So we don't know how many they were. We see there was a multitude or a lot of them. And then so it goes from one to who knows how many thousands of angels maybe. We don't know. In the sky, praising God and singing to God. It would have been something that the shepherds would have remembered for the rest of their lives. The next thing we see in our passage, the shepherds had a decision to make. What were they going to do with this piece of information that was provided to them by the angels? Were they going to go? Were they going to stay? We don't know. They had to make a decision. As soon as the angels left, they had that decision to make. I mean, you can imagine just if anything happens and we all witness it, we all start talking about it right afterwards. Just imagine the shepherds all talking about what had just happened, the angels they had just seen, the message they had been given. And we see that there. They find it. They had that decision about what they had deserved. They had to decide if they were going to go right away or if they were going to wait or whatever. You know, not only did they make the decision to go and seek out the Messiah, they made it right away. We see they came with haste. They came rapidly. They came fast. You know, they could have said, you know, oh, let's just go in the morning after I sleep. Or, you know what, let me get a couple hours of sleep in the morning and then we'll go. No, they didn't. They went with haste to find Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. They came with haste. You know, this is just one of the many examples of the Bible as we look at as God using people that are outcasts, people that are may not be the suited for the job, but yet Jesus came to the shepherds. Jesus came to them to tell them about Christ. Why shepherds? We don't know. Jesus is always referred to as the good shepherd in the Bible, so maybe it was because of that. He came to the shepherds to show that he was a good shepherd for us. But yeah, as we look at it and we think about it, there are so many different people in the Bible who were used by God, despite the flaws, despite maybe not being the best qualified, despite all that stuff. And so we see this. And so I'm going to quote the words to a song from Casting Crowns and Matthew West. It's called Nobody. It's a great song, and it talks about this. It says, why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line, with all the other not quites, with all the never get it whites. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. Just think about that. The shepherds were the ones that God was looking for. The shepherds were the ones that he came to. They were unlikely to be there. They were unlikely the ones to be chosen, but yet they were chosen. God chose them. It's the same thing with us. Why would God choose us? We're sinners. We disappoint him frequently, but yet he chose us. He chose us. The second verse of that goes on to talk about the different people and some of the different people in the Bible. It says Moses had stage fright. You think about it. Moses was afraid to speak to Pharaoh. He was like, I'm not good with words. I can't speak. I can't do it. Next one says, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. He had a teenager fighting Goliath, who was 9 foot tall. And he didn't bring a sword. He brought a stone and a slingshot. You know, and then the next one is, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. talking about the 12 disciples, talking about them, and how that those 12 men who some were hated, you had tax collectors, you had fishermen, you had outcasts, you had people that no one else liked, they went out and they changed the world forever. Just think about that. The effect that they have on us as Christians today. Because you know what? They spread the gospel around the world. They had so much to do, but yet God chose them. God saw past their lowly outward experience and saw inward to the heart and knew what they're capable of. We can learn from this that God can help us to do anything beyond what we're able. God can help us to do so many things that we may never think that we can do, but God can give us the strength to do that. We just have to make room for Jesus in our hearts, just as the shepherds did that night. We need to make room for Jesus in our lives as well. And you know what? We can be used to greatly reach others, as we'll see next. Making room for Jesus in the shepherds' lives, it changed their lives forever. They were forever changed by that encounter, by that experience. You know, they didn't just keep it to themselves. They didn't just hide it in their hearts and just say, oh, I'm happy. No, they went out and they told others about Christ. They told others about Christ. And we see in verse 17, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying that was told them concerning to this child. They told everybody. They made it known abroad. Everywhere they went, they told people about this, that the Messiah had come. They didn't keep it to themselves. They didn't hide it in their hearts and say, okay, this is awesome. I'm just going to keep it and not tell anybody else. No. Whenever we have something exciting happen to us, we want to tell others. We want to tell others. That's just our nature as humans. And so these shepherds were doing that. You know, the amazing thing is we look at it and we see the next verse is that the people were amazed at the sayings that they were being told by the shepherds. They were amazed. Now, were they amazed that the Messiah had come? Or were they amazed that the shepherds, a lowly people, outcast, people wouldn't think of that would come, were telling them this message and they were the first ones to tell them this message? We don't know. But yet, the shepherds wanted to tell the good news to everyone that they met, everyone they came in contact with. We want to tell people about things that are exciting to us. It's been awesome the past couple weeks seeing Titus's reaction to telling people about his salvation and baptism. Now, he's just not telling people in church. He's just not telling family. He's telling random people we run out in the community. He's telling the cashiers at Sheetz that we may have never seen before. He's telling cashiers at Walmart. He's telling random people at Walmart. Anyone who will sit there and listen, he tells them that he asked Jesus into his heart. And as he says, he got baptized. So, as we go through this, we need to be more like that. He doesn't have that fear that we have as adults. That fear of rejection. That fear of what's this person going to think of me. Titus doesn't care about that. He's going to tell people because you know what? He's excited. His life has been changed. Just as the shepherds' lives were changed and they went out and told everybody, we as well need to do that. We need to realize that our lives have been changed so much that we need to go out and share the gospel with others. And that's what we need. The chorus to the song Nobody, I didn't mention it earlier. I was going to mention it now. It says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. That's what we need to do. When we make room for Jesus in our hearts, we want the world to see, not us, but we want them to see Jesus in us, see what Jesus has done for us in our lives. And as we go out this week, we need to make room for Jesus throughout this month and throughout the rest, every month of the year, because we get so caught up in everything that goes on in our lives that it's hard sometimes for us to do that. But we need to purposefully make room for Jesus. Make room for that relationship with Jesus every day. Luke's account of the gospel, as I mentioned earlier, is probably one of the most popular accounts of Jesus' birth in Scripture. It's quoted everywhere. You can't see, you go in, you'll hear it many times, I'm sure, throughout the rest of this month. It's quoted in movies such as Charlie Brown's Christmas. I think all of us have probably seen that. All of us know that. But it comes to it. Charlie Brown brings in this tree that, you know, he thinks is great, but, you know, it's a little flimsy thing with a couple branches, and every time he sets it down, a couple of the, you know, pine needles fall off of it. You know, it may not be the best outside, but yet Charlie Brown sees deeper to see what's important about it. He brings it in. They're practicing for the Christmas program. He puts it down. Everyone starts to mock him for his choice of Christmas tree. Everyone starts to say, I can't believe you do this. You're such a blockhead. You know, you couldn't have chosen a better tree. And so he sits there and he asks, and just in frustration asks, does anybody know what Christmas is all about? And at that point, Linus goes in and starts quoting Luke 2:8-16. Charlie Brown then walks out with the tree and puts that iconic red ball on it, and it falls over. It touches the ground. He's like, I'm such a failure. I can't believe this happened. But yet, everyone else, the whole Peanuts class, followed him. They see that, and then they say, start saying, oh, it's not such a bad tree. And then they start decorating it up, make it all nice and fancy, give it some love, and then it becomes a beautiful tree. We need to remember the true meaning of Christmas, that God came for us. That the angels came to the shepherds to announce the good news of Christ's birth. That's what's important this Christmas. And that's why it's important for us to make room for Jesus in our hearts. Not only were the shepherds a group of nobody, but they made room for Jesus. They changed. They went right away to find Jesus in the manger. We all know that. I want to encourage each of us this month to make room for Jesus. Make room for Jesus. We're, what, 16 days, 17 days till Christmas. Over these next 16, 17 days, next three, couple weeks, make room for Jesus. Make sure that he's the focus of your time. Make sure he's the focus of this season, because he came. He came to give us life eternal. He came to give us everlasting life. You know, maybe you find yourself today. Maybe you find yourself like the innkeeper, with no room for Jesus in your life. Maybe you find yourselves so caught up in everything that you don't focus on him. You know, it's not too late. It's never too late for you to change. It's never too late for you to go to be from being like the innkeeper to have no room, to being like the shepherds who made room, who went out, who told the world about Jesus. That's what we need to do. I want to encourage you that if you haven't made room for Jesus yet, that you make room for Jesus this Christmas. You focus on him, because we have so much going on. We get so distracted. We need to intentionally make room for Jesus in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this good day and for this opportunity you've given us to come to your house this morning and to worship you. And Lord, as we go throughout this Christmas season, help us to make room for you. Help us to make room and find time to spend with you and focus on the true meaning of Christmas and not everything as that has become so commercialized with Christmas. Just help us to remember the true reason of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand, join me for the invitation.